Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk today about the glory and majesty of Jesus and the importance of being able to walk by the Spirit in these challenging times. These are times that call for deep communion with God. And it's precious for us. We're being called by the Lord in our powerlessness, in the face of struggle and difficulty in life, to press more deeply into Him. He's inviting us to come and to draw strength from Him. If you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, I began the week kind of touching on some of the themes that I think are so important, that I really do think the Spirit is speaking to us to be still and know that God is God and come near to Him and get the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to give you real live conviction so that produces the hope. Remember now that we've been given the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. These are infused gifts from God upon which our whole life as Christians and Catholics is founded on. We live from those realities, the Holy Spirit present in us, making, first of all, the life of God present in us, but the journey here on earth for us is to be able to walk each day in that realization and to grow ever deeper into it. I mean, life is very ordinary and it's filled with ordinary tasks every day, and that's as it should be. But it's easy to forget in the busyness of life, in the angst of life, the confusion and the pressure, to forget who we are. And we allow the circumstances of life to communicate to us attitudes, perspectives that we take on almost as identities, and we walk in them. And oftentimes they're just so limited and minimalistic. I'm not sure what words are best to use. It's just not our true identity. We're not living in and from our true identity in Christ. And it's right there for us. It's right there for us if we seek and seek the Lord first, and if we turn to Him, and if we continue to offer up our hearts. And there's so much help the Lord wants to give us through the working of the Spirit, through the grace of the ministry, the sacraments of the church, for the presence of Our Lady, and this year of St. Joseph, and the saints to help you and me come into, in this life, the fullest possible realization of the promises of God and the work that He's already begun in us, that we can cooperate with and just keep growing and growing. And this is the best thing that anybody can experience on the planet. It's better than any other achievement. It's better than any other possession. It's better than any perfect scenario we could draw for ourselves apart from it. I mean, the saints are the constant witnesses to us about this, that they really did find the treasure. And they not only found it, but when they laid their eyes on it at a certain point, they saw its value in relationship to everything else. They weren't fooled by the fool's gold that's everywhere around us in the world. That money is, for example, money's always one of the big temptations, right? To see money as the key. And the more money, the better, as the key to things. To have power, to be popular, to have in all that stuff that is so present and always so tempting that the world serves up. And remember how the devil himself tempted Jesus in the desert. Jesus went, you know, right from at the beginning of his mission, right from the waters, the baptism of the Jordan, and the beautiful theophany, the revelation of God the Father, the presence of the Spirit saying, "This is my beloved Son." And then he comes out of the water and he walks basically into the desert to do what? To do spiritual warfare, to draw a line in that sand, in that hot sand, to let the enemy know that his domination and his dominion over human beings was being brought to an end real soon. And so the devil went after him like he goes after us with tempting and twisting God's word. And hey, look, you do this. Look at this. See, at one point he put him up on the corner of the temple, whatever, looking over and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, "You see all this? I can give it to you. I'm happy to give it to you. I want you to have it. But here's what you need to do. You need to bow down and worship me." I mean, that's really, in a nutshell, what the enemy wants to do. Hey, I'll give you anything on earth. I'll give you what you want. Or he'll have a plan for everyone's life. Ooh, this guy's really talented. this woman's really talented. I'm going to get them on a track. Hopefully they can be on a track where they're consumed by themselves and I can channel their gifts, help them channel their gifts in a way that they can build something huge that'll keep them preoccupied their whole life about themselves and distracted. And hopefully they won't think, you know, 1 minute about God. I mean, the devil loves that sort of thing. And there Jesus is. And he comes back against them with the word of God, right? Only God is to be worshiped. I think about that great prayer in the reading from the book of Revelation where it says that the angel from mid-heaven came forward with the eternal gospel and declared it to the whole earth, to every tribe and nation, the eternal gospel that has come from heaven, the voice of God. What does God want to communicate? What does the angel want to communicate? What the world most needs to hear? Fear God and give him glory. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth. And lo and behold, friends, as it turns out, you see in that temptation of the desert, we're going to worship somebody. We're either going to worship the true God, we're going to worship the devil, or we're going to worship ourselves, various kinds of idols, which is a default, is just another expression of worshiping the enemy. He's happy to be masked behind it as long as it's not authentic worship of God. And the amazing thing that Jesus showed us, he declared it in the desert, and on the cross, he declared to you and to me, and it will echo into eternity forever. This is the meaning of human life. This is what a man and a woman was created for, and the only place you will ever find ultimate fulfillment. Fear God and give him glory. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth. Jesus made an offering of his life to God the Father on the cross. It was an act of love. Yes, others had, there were powers at work, the kingdom of darkness and the flesh and the will of men and the rage and the anger that's in the flesh and the blame and the rest, all that's going on there. Fear was at work, all kinds of things. But the central thing that was going on, in the beating heart of Jesus, in the core of his being, with freedom, having humbled himself, becoming obedient, even to this moment now of death, he chose it. He chose it first out of radical love for the Father. He came to fulfill the first and the greatest commandment. He described it that way himself. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength is literally, friends, the absolute, unequivocal, unchanging, most valuable thing a human being could ever do. To have that is to have everything. To not walk in it is to lose everything. Jesus defines, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm showing you the way. I'm showing you the way here. What being on earth is all about and the direction you're meant to move in, the momentum of your life, what this journey is all about. And I'm the truth. I'm the truth about where what love looks like. I'm the truth about how to express that love. I'm the truth about the direction that love should go first to my Father in heaven and to my neighbor. So right there on the cross, Jesus is making a love offering to the Father, and then he's laying down his life for his friends. That's a great definition of the most meaningful human life possible. And that's what the King of Kings and Lord of Lords came to communicate to us. And he showed us what's the way to get there? Humility. You see that? His love was expressed in humility. Humility allowed Jesus, remember he said, the only, you might say, virtue that Jesus personally talked about regarding his own life, where he said, I am this way. He said, I am meek and I'm humble of heart. And some those words are sort of interchangeable, but they're also different. Jesus is saying, this is what I'm like. This is my heart. This is my whole disposition. He humbled himself And he exalts a virtue called humility that the world never exalted prior to Jesus. And it turns out it's right at the core. Does a fallen world that's filled with the pride of the enemy and the pride of human flesh miss the point? It missed what one of the central things that defines Jesus, the God-man. And it's what was expressed perfectly at that moment of total triumph over his enemies. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Humility is Jesus isn't thinking about himself. He's thinking about the Father. He's thinking about saving us. And he's obeying. Humility is not just a feeling. That's why Scripture can command us to say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. It's a decision. I want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and I want to follow the commands of God, and I want to receive them with gratitude, thanksgiving, with joy, and I want to walk them out with my eyes on the Father and loving him and praying that my life could be something that glorifies him and doesn't primarily glorify me. So Jesus models for us there that extraordinary pathway, the walking that low road of humility, which is so powerful, and it's that humility that brings down the whole structure of the world that's set against the kingdom of God, that whole apparatus the enemy is constructing constantly, and the rage that's present in the earth and in the world against God, it gets brought down by humility. And humility is the means through which Jesus expressed the greatest of all virtues, of love. And it's so important. Jesus defined what love looks like. And he witnessed to that throughout his life. He testified to it. He received great opposition, but he just kept bearing witness to it. And everything that came at him, he continued to endure. But what did he do? How did he respond to the things that came to him? I was thinking of 1 Peter describing and the challenge he puts before those he's shepherding. In chapter 3 of 1 Peter, he said, "For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found in him. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted in him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." You see that how humility is communicated in Jesus' life. When he was reviled, he didn't revile back in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. And he trusted in him who judges justly. He trusted in the Father. That's another way of describing faith. Like when we're called to trust in Jesus and trust in the Father, trusting that kind of total trust that Jesus is expressing here is where the Spirit wants to help us get to, how he wants to help it, that grow in us so that we simply trust God and we know that obeying him, no matter what the cost, what that brings about, how much pushback, how much pain it brings to my life, doesn't matter. Trusting in him is the way to life. That's called walking in righteousness. So we'll talk about this more tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.